Dukish.
I grew up in a Christian home, and actually a little known fact is my grandparents, both sets, were missionaries. So my dad's parents were missionaries in Israel for about 16 years, and they came home, but now they work with Amazing Grace Missions, which is traveling around and doing the fairs and festivals and things like that. And my mom's parents were missionaries in Guyana, South America. But even though I had that heritage, I never considered missions for myself. I was saved at 7 under my grandfather's preaching. But then I kind of was just raised in Christian church, like raised in a Christian home, going to church every time the doors were open, and I was just like, I'm bored with this. I don't want to do this. I didn't really have a goal or a thing that I was going to do. It was more, this is what my parents are doing, and I'm in their house, so I have to do it. But then at 14, I went to a summer camp, and the Lord just really got a hold of my heart. Every single sermon that they preached was like directed towards me, and I was like, okay, Lord, I get the point. And then I dedicated my life to the Lord that week. I was 14 then, didn't know what I was going to do. I was just like, Lord, I'll do whatever. Wasn't really considering missions even still. Then in 2015, I went with my youth group on a mission trip to New York City. And that's when the Lord really started touching my heart and nudging me about missions. He was just like, look at all these people that don't know. And I grew up in a little small town that is just like everybody in the Chattanooga, rough around Chattanooga, and it was just like, everybody's a Christian, like everybody goes to church. But then I went to New York, and it's just like, you see the world around you, and it's like, there are so many more people than my little bubble that I was living in, and the Lord was like, are you going to tell them? And I was like, okay, Lord. And so I started praying about it, was praying about missions, and then a situation happened where I got extremely bitter and angry at God and people around me, and I told the Lord, I was like, if this is what being in ministry is like, then I don't want it. I refuse. I was like, it hurts too much. I don't want to do it. And then through that, the Lord let me go on a mission trip to Brazil. And there it was just like, you really don't want to do this. And you see all these works. And when we were actually in where we were, there was about 4 missionary families that were all working together, because the language school for Brazil is in the capital city, which is Sao Paulo, and that's where we were. So there was a couple people, and they were like, oh, we're going here, we're going all over Brazil. And the Lord was just like, what are you going to do? And I was just like, okay, Lord. I finally got my bitterness taken care of, finally got it out. The devil was really using that. So I started praying about missions in South America. But I was like, Lord, is it really South America, or is it just South America because that's the only place I've been? So really started praying about it. Then in 2018, I went on a missions trip. It was a month long. We spent 2 weeks in Colombia and then 2 weeks in the Amazon jungle region of like Peru, Colombia, and Brazil. We were in the jungle, far away from anything. We didn't have our phones. We didn't have distractions. We were just like working like the missionaries were working. And it was there that the Lord was like, I want you here. I want you in the jungle. I want you in the Amazon rainforest. And I was like, okay, Lord. And then I was like, I don't know how or when. I was still praying about Bible college. The Lord I didn't have peace about that. The Lord wasn't leading me that way. But it was on that trip that I met Mark, my husband. And like the first week we started talking after that trip, he was like, so I'm going to Suriname, so you need to figure out if you can go there, because if you can't, we're not even going to talk, because there's no point, because I'm going. So I was like, okay. I didn't know anything about Suriname, so I looked it up, and the next week I just looked up Suriname, and it's 90% Amazon rainforest. And I was like, okay, Lord. And then I was like, that's, as if it weren't obvious enough with that, I was just like, okay, make it more obvious. Then he did, and then it was just like, the Lord just like put everything, and it fell into place beautifully. And I was just like, I can't imagine how this could have happened if I was like trying to control it. But the Lord was just like, no, trust me, I'll take care of it. And I get it. And now we're here. A year from that trip, Mark and I were married, and we started deputation in September of 2019, part-time, and now we're full-time on the road, headed to Suriname.
First off, I just want to thank this church. Y'all have set the bar for churches in America, and I just want to thank you personally for my family, for being so good to us, and for showing us your heart for missions and for a lost world around us. And what you did for our children last night, I could never repay it. and I just want to thank you. And I want to praise, must be of honor where honor is due. And I just want to thank y'all for just being so good to us.
Amen.
I was privileged to be raised in a Christian home. My parents were first generation Christians. And they decided, even though their homes were wrecked growing up, that they were going to raise their children for the honor and glory of God. And that the most important thing in life was not that we make something big of ourselves financially and in the world's eyes, but that no matter what we were doing or where we were at, is that we were saved on our way to heaven and serving God.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be raised in that kind of new heritage in our home. And I had made a profession of faith when I was just a little girl. But my dad was a pastor most of my life, and he would make sure that they took us to camp meetings, and we had revivals in our church, and I'd sit in ladies' meetings, and I'd always look at these ladies and men that would come through, and I would see God just glowing all over them, and I knew that they had something that I didn't have, and I wanted it, but I just, for some reason, wasn't sure how to grasp a hold of it. But 26 years ago, when I was 16 years old, in an old-fashioned camp meeting, there was sawdust on the floor. There was no walls. The preacher got up and started preaching about the troubled sea. And I knew that if I let it pass that night, that I was going to die and I was going to go to hell. And the Lord gloriously saved me that night at that camp meeting. And he's been so good to me ever since. I just can't thank him enough. And if it wasn't enough that he allowed me to serve him in our church in the different areas, I was just happy just doing whatever I could do for him. But now he's allowing me to go and tell another country about him. And I just honestly just can't thank him enough for what he's done for me and my family. And thank you so much for allowing us to be here.
Well, I wasn't privileged to be raised in a Christian home. My parents were Catholic. Catholic in name, but not in practice. I was raised without any kind of real religious influence whatsoever, except I had an old grandmother who decided that she wanted to take me to Mass and make sure that I was properly indoctrinated in the Catholic religion. And the Catholics will tell you, give me a child until they're 8 years old and they'll be a Catholic for the rest of their lives. That's not true. My grandmother died when I was 12. And it was about that same time that my mother went to work full time. And from the time that I became a teenager until the time I was 17 years old, I was left pretty much on my own devices. Don't do that to a child. The places, my family really didn't care where I was or what I was doing. And the places that I chose to go and the people that I chose to hang around almost destroyed me completely. By the time I was 17 years old, I was a drunk. I was suicidal. I was classified as a chronic teenage depressant. And through a series of events, I lost my one solace, and that was I was having trouble getting to school. I lost my ride to school, and I was scrambling for a way to get to school. And I was offered a ride by a girl that lived right down the street from me that I had kind of known a little bit about. When I stepped into her car the first day on the way to school, she had a big black Bible on her dashboard. And before the end of the day, she had invited me to church. And I still remember what I thought. I thought, I've tried everything else. Might as well give this a try. When I walked into that Baptist church that day, it was like walking into a whole new world. I'm serious. I had never seen anything like that in my whole life. I had never seen people who profess such love for one another and for the Lord. Because, you see, religion to me was a dead ritual. That's all I'd ever seen of religion. It was dry, it was dead, and it was not understandable. But when I walked in there, they began to tell me about Jesus. And I knew about Jesus. Now, I did. I knew that Jesus had died. And I knew that he rose again, and I knew that he was God. But I didn't know he died for me. And I didn't know that I could have my sins forgiven now. I didn't know that I could know for sure that I was going to heaven. Well, by that time, I was rather cynical, and I didn't trust anything in anybody. But I liked this. This was different. And so I hung around that Baptist church long enough to learn the lingo. I learned how to talk the talk, and I learned how to look like they looked and to say the things that they said. And I decided, I think I'll join this church. I saw other people doing that. And so I went forward and asked the preacher, could I join the church? And he said, well, are you saved? And I said, sure. And I gave him a testimony that I had heard other people repeat that did not belong to me. I even let him baptize me. But I didn't have anything in my heart. I thankfully had a youth director that saw through that. And about 3 months later, he pinpointed me and he started witnessing to me. And I backed away. This preacher, when he said I went out the back door as fast as I could go, that's what I did, but the Holy Spirit followed me. Yeah. 9 o'clock that night, I got down on my knees beside my bed and said, Lord, I know I've been playing a game, and it's not a game. It's for real, and I want you. And I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. It's never been the same, and I don't ever want it to be the same again. I praise the Lord for the privilege of being God's servant. I consider that one of the highest privileges on earth. I'll never be able to repay him for what he did for me, but I'd sure like to spend the rest of my life trying.
I just want to echo what so many others have said before. Thank you, church. Not every church is like this, and the missionaries know, the evangelists know. You go in some churches and you can tell right away you're going to have a good time. And you go in others and you kind of just want to turn around and go right back out. And that's sad to say, but it's true. It's where we are. So thank you, church. We have just, I don't want to leave today. I just really don't. I know we have another meeting to go to, but I don't want to leave. This has been so wonderful. So thank you. I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home. I was in a Christian school. I was in a good church. And at the age of 6, I was in Sunday school class, and my teacher asked a question, and I'm sorry to say, I wasn't paying attention to what the question was. I just looked around and saw everybody else raise their hand. So I was like, oh. And then she said, you didn't raise your hand. Do you want to? And I said, oh, sure. So the other lady took me out, and she read me some verses, and I copied a prayer that she said, and she said, you're saved. And I said, well, okay. Hallelujah. I guess that's what everybody else did, you know. I had no idea what she was talking about because I just didn't understand yet. I just didn't understand yet. But not long after that, we were at daycare after school, and a little redhead boy and I got an argument over what it means to be saved. And if you've ever seen two redheads in an argument, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. But he was telling me that salvation was asking Jesus into your heart to forgive your sins, and he was saying all the right things. And I said, no, it's not. Salvation is when you say the prayer that your Sunday school teacher said. And we just went at it, physically and verbally. And of course, it wasn't long before our daycare worker came over and was like, what is going on? And we told her about the argument, and I just knew I was right. But she told me I was wrong. And she said, do you really want to know what it means? And I said, I really do. And she led me to the Lord that day. And I understood then, it wasn't about a prayer I prayed. It wasn't about anything I did other than saying, Jesus, you died for me, and I want to give you my life. That was it. It was about what he did for me. So I went through school, my Christian school, grew up, went through college. I knew I wanted to be a teacher and get married, have kids, just do that whole, what you're supposed to do, you know. And in college, I met Jason, and that was it, our first year, I think. He went down to the altar and surrendered to missions. And I said, oh, this might be a deal breaker. Because I'm a homebody, and I'm a family person, and the thought of leaving my home and my family scared me to death. I'm shy, I'm backward, I don't like to be in front of people. I'm like, no, I don't like to talk to strangers, you know. I'm like, no. So I kept thinking, well, maybe we'll just kind of see where this goes. And we went through college, and the Lord never laid a field on his heart. And I was like, whew, got out of that one. And we settled in at our church, as he went, you know, told you the other night. We've been there for 20 years, and we were happy there. We were living the life, you know. Of course, the Lord never gave us children, and he moved our jobs and changed things around. And, of course, my plan was not his. And I was like, that's okay. I'm near my family. I'm near my home. I'm settled. And then we went on that missions trip, and everything changed. The Bible says that the Lord will give us the desires of the heart. And I thought I knew what that meant until I got back from that missions trip, and I really understood what that verse meant. Because when I left, all I wanted to do was be a blessing on that trip and then come home and get back to my life, my routine, my schedule, my comfort zone, really. But once we got back from that trip, I had such a burden on my heart. And I kept thinking, Lord, not missions. Lord, not missions. Lord, don't take me away from my family. Lord, no. Lord, no. Lord, no. But the more I prayed, the more I was like, but I want to go. I feel I need to go. I don't think I'll be happy here if I don't go. By the time I got done, because we hadn't talked about it yet, I was going, Lord, let me go. Tell his heart what you're telling mine. Let me go, because I don't want to stay here anymore. When we surrendered, it was just like, we talked about it that day, and just, we were like, this is what we're doing. This is what God wants us to do. We're going to do this. And the peace and joy that flooded my heart was just like, it was just such a relief, such a weight. Then I realized we had to do deputation, and the weight came back. But just knowing that God completely changed my heart. And people were like, well, that must have been some trip. How long were they there? And I'm like, 10 days. What God can do in 10 days. And as the other lady said, it's just such a privilege to be used. I mean, I'm nobody. But to be used of God, it's just such a privilege. And to know that he can change a heart like he changed mine. It's like, yes, Lord, I want to serve you, but not in that way. And then suddenly it was like, I can't imagine doing anything else. So I'm thankful to the Lord for allowing us to be here. I'm thankful even for the deputation road, because it does allow us to meet wonderful people like you, and to know that there are churches out there that are praying for missions and missionaries. Thank you.
I'm nervous standing up here. My parents were Christians, and I was raised in a Christian home. But my mom lost both of her parents when I was around the age of 12. And she'd go to church, and she'd just cry. And she thought, you know, I'm just being this huge distraction. I can't worship. And she said, let's just not go to church. So from about age 12 until I was 17, we didn't go to church other than a couple of Easters and Christmas, as they say, CEO Christians. So I knew that Jesus had died for the world. We could go to heaven if we believed in him. And I thought, yeah, that's true. Okay, so, you know, I'm going to heaven because I believe that. But my mom, when we were 17, she said, let's go back to this church. I heard real good things about this church, and I think we should go. And so I was like, okay, I'll go. And I remember sitting there, and I sat on it. They only had two rows, but I was sitting on this side, and I don't remember what the preacher was preaching. I know it was on the gospel, but I just remember in my mind I could see just my sin, just like a rolling film, and then seeing the Lord and him on the cross and what he had done for me. And as Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and he's so good. He's so good, and I'm nothing. I'm still nothing without him. And I got saved that day and gave my heart to him. And we became members of that church. And I remember the next year we went to I guess it's called a youth conference or that's what it's called, a youth conference, and I remember surrendering my heart to him and saying, you know, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. I want whatever you have for my life. And I didn't think about missions or any of that. I just wanted to be obedient to the Lord and what he'd have for me. And the Lord opened the door that I could go on a missions trip in 2009 to the Dominican Republic. And so we went, and we also went in 2010. And I just brought back, the Lord just put, I had never been outside of the United States. I had never been outside of really Virginia and Tennessee. And he just put a heart in me just seeing a third world country and just how they are just so wrapped up in false religion and just other things. And I brought that back. I said, you know, we need to pray. God send people to reach them, and they need more help. I never thought about me, or I never, my husband wasn't a preacher then. We were just members of a church, and I just thought, we just need to pray, and we just need to, get support missions so we can get people there. And that was in 2010, and then 2012, my husband got called to preach, and I was like, wow, okay, that's cool. And then, he was praying and seeking the Lord on his own, and it wasn't until 2013 he said, Brittany, we're going to go. The Lord's called us to the Dominican Republic. I was like, no way. I was like, that's amazing, And we talk about it now. Had it been anywhere else, I probably would have been like, I don't know, or I don't know if that might be a safe place. And the Dominican's not really safe, but I don't know if that'd be a safe. I wouldn't feel comfortable. But I have this peace that, it's just, that's where God wants us. And I have 100% assurance that that's where he wants us. And I was so excited to get to go on a survey trip with him this past February. It was March. And I told him as we were getting ready to leave, I said, I know we've got John with us and our other three are in the States. I was like, but I don't want to go. I was like, we could just ship the other three over here. I was like, do we really have to go home? And he said, yeah, we've got to go home. But it's like it's home, and those people, you don't know them, but it's kind of like they're your extended family. And I'm just so glad that God uses ordinary people like me. I'm so glad that he can use anybody, and he can use each one of you here and abroad. And I'm just so thankful for the God that we serve and how he keeps working on us. And some people think they mess up and they're out of the game. God gives you forgiveness, and he just keeps working on you every day. And I just thank you, and I thank you, church, for just what a blessing you've been to our family. Mission conference like this is very rare, and we've just had a wonderful time, and we've gotten to know so many of you, and we love you all.
Just want to say thank you to the church. And I grew up in a Christian home. My daddy was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. And I'm just thankful for the goodly heritage that I had. And when I was a child, I made professions, but I never had peace. And was always, had no peace. Didn't know if I died, if I would go to heaven or not. And when Jeff came when Jeff went to work with the lineman, the lineman that he went to work with was my two brothers. And that's how I met Jeff. He came to our church. And we got married, and we had three children. And we were at my daddy's church one night, and they were having a revival, and Brother Eddie Watts preached. And he said, he preached the message, how long can you go before God lets you go? Talking about how long can you go pretending to be saved before God just let you go and don't deal with you anymore. And I realized that night that I was lost and I needed to be saved, and I got saved. And when the Lord dealt with Jeff's heart about going to Bulgaria, I didn't really know. And I was like, okay, I'm willing to go, but as far as feeling a call, I didn't really. But when we went on our survey trip, we went to Moldova first, and we were in a public transportation. We were in a van, and we were surrounded by Moldovans, and I sat there, and the Lord dealt with my heart. He said, you've heard the gospel all your life, and all these people have never heard.
Amen.
And the Lord spoke to my heart, and then I knew that we were called to be missionaries, and we lived in Bulgaria for 8 years, and God was so good to us, and just such a privilege that he would let us serve him. And I was from the country. I was backward, and Brother Willis likes to say I didn't even wear shoes till I went to St. Stephen. But I'm so thankful that God allowed us to serve Him. Amen. And then we didn't understand when we came home from Bulgaria because we had planned to spend the rest of our life there. But God sent us home, and He gives us the privilege to work with these men.
Amen.
And with their families, and it's such a blessing to see families be put back together. And I'm just so thankful that God allows us to serve Him.
Mine will probably be the shortest. I'm the backward shot one that you was talking about. But I do want to, whenever you say give a testimony, all I know do is I just go back and I think of when God changed my life. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home either. Actually, my grandfather was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. And he gambled. My mom, that's the dad that she knew. My mom, she doesn't, her father, the memories that she has when she was a childhood is not the same memory that I have as my grandfather, because the Lord saved him out of that. And he was the only one in our family that knew the Lord. And so he took us grandkids to Sunday school. And so he got us going to Sunday school. And then, you know, we have Bible school. And I can go back. I can think of the lesson. It was on Adam and Eve. We had to shut our eyes. And at that moment, I was probably 7, I realized that I was lost. I knew if I died, I would go to hell. But I didn't change anything then. I was under conviction for probably till I was 12. I was in church, in Sunday school the whole time. But when I was 12, I surrendered. And just the difference, the peace that the Lord gave me whenever I asked Him to save me was such a an unspeakable. I can't explain it. I met Chris in high school, and I got married at 18, and he was in the Navy, and he was not saved. And the Lord saved him probably 3 years into our marriage. And so after that, I guess the Lord called him to pastor a church. And that scared me to death to be a pastor's wife. And he pastored for several years. I don't know how long. But I ask you all to pray for me that I can support my husband. After he pastored, he went on a mission trip to Haiti, which he'd been going. He's been to Utah and places like that. I thought, well, okay, he's just going to go on a trip. And then he came back, and then he wanted to go back. And then he wanted to go back again. And the Lord has put the Haitian people on his heart. So I just ask that you all just to pray for us and pray for me that I can support my husband through
Amen.
His mission.
I'm the old lady in the group, but it's still exciting. Never gets old. I was just 9 years old when the Lord saved me. But I was under conviction for a week as if I'd been a drunk. And I knew, but I had a Sunday school teacher that lived next door. When I went forward, she came and put my name in John 3:16. And God saved me. And I was afraid that I'd lose it. I was reared in that type of atmosphere. And when I moved into Duane's family, They were not afraid of losing it, and they lived cleaner than my family. My mother was a Sunday school teacher, and my daddy was a deacon, but we were just taught that way. And when it dawned on me through the study of God's Word that I was saved eternally, it was like getting saved all over again. But I wanted to just share my testimony about Faith Promise. This is one of the dearest things we have in our home. We've been at it a long time, and Duane tells you how we started out with $8. But we were sitting in a mission and first of all, when Duane decided and I agreed that we should go into missions and go to the border of Mexico and do missions work, and the thing that grieved me, and I'm being honest, is that we would be takers and not givers. And that's bothered me, because I didn't think, well, we won't be able to give to missions anymore because we're not getting a salary from a church or anything. And I can honestly say it grieved my soul. I didn't know what God was going to do. I had no idea that our giving would go greater. But we went to the field under-supported. We hardly had enough to... But God took care of us. But we were in a mission conference in Dallas, Texas. That was our church that we went through to go to the field. They was our clearinghouse, you would call them. And we were sitting there, and my youngest daughter was sitting next to me. And my husband always feels that our faith promise, and I say amen to whatever. And I don't know what he was putting down that day, but God spoke to my heart. And I had never made a faith promise for just for me. I didn't have any money. I had no money coming in. And I mean, Duane always said she wasn't on, you know, rations. But listen, we didn't have any extra money. There was no such thing. We did not have it. We did our faith promise. We paid our tithes and helped other missionaries sometimes. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, if you were to give $50 a month, then they could take on another missionary, because that's what they supported, was $50 a month. And I thought, well, it says as God provides, and if he doesn't provide, then I'm not obligated to give it. And I filled out that faith promise, $50 a month. My husband did not see me, only my little girl that sat beside me. And boy, she was a giver then herself, even though we didn't have much. But I'll never forget. I wouldn't spend a penny. People began to hand me money. Now, most of the time, they just give it to my husband. But people would hand me money. Oh, I wouldn't have bought a piece of candy. I wouldn't buy anything. Because I told God, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it back. And I would not spend a penny. Well, it was time for my first $50 to be sent, and I only had 45. We went to a church, I'll never forget it. I was sitting right in the middle, and my husband's up here preaching, and he's saying, do you think that if you ask God to give you something, and you're going to give it back to him, that he won't give it? And I'm saying, yes, Lord, that's me. But now tomorrow, I'm sending what I've got. What you've given me, I'm going to send it tomorrow, because it was time. Well, that night, after church, the pastor's wife walked up to me. I've told her about it since, but she handed me an envelope. And she said, we know that the missionaries can't do anything without the help of their wife. I could not wait to get to the van and open it. There was $50 in that. Now, this is God. This is not me. This is God. Do you know what I did? I sent it all. I only lacked $5 having 2 months. I just had to get $5 more in for the next month. And do you know that was due in January? Do you know that I paid off that faith promise in October? And I did not spend one penny that came into my fingers. I just sent it to there. And guess what? Some missionary got $50 a month and never even knows who I am. But I will meet his convert someday in heaven. But the next greatest thing that has ever come into my life, spiritually, is when I got that letter from Mickey Gopher. You know, God can do things that you cannot imagine. In your greatest imagination, you cannot imagine what God can do. And I got that letter from Mickey Gopher, and I did not know Mickey Gopher. I know that he graduated with my pastor's wife. He was a homeboy before he went to the field, that cold country, that he went up into the forest and lived in a tent during the wintertime with his family so he could acclimate to what he was going into, to Mongolia. And I got that letter, and it had that horse on it and had those 8 children across its back. And inside was information that they were going to have to quit printing children's literature, or they couldn't, going to have to quit having it translated, because they did not, the money that they were using for the translation had ceased to come, and they were just going to stop. But they thought maybe they could give it to the information to some of their supporters, that somebody might take it up. Oh, that horse, those children laid on my chest, and it was God that gave me the burden, his burden. It wasn't me. I couldn't have made that up. I couldn't have put that on my heart, but he did that day. And I'll never forget it. I teach ladies' meetings, and I called Mickey's mom. She's a local lady. And I called and asked her, could I get permission to copy their DVD and take it to ladies' meetings? And I copied that letter. And I mean, I just would go to and say, listen, give this to your pastor. Tell your pastor that these people need help. And I would give out those DVDs and give out those letters. And I did that to a couple of ladies' meetings. And then when the Lord began to sit. Now, when I had a ladies' meeting, I didn't keep any of the money they give you. I just sent it on to Mickey. Everything that came in my hands, I just sent on to Mickey. So they were coming back into town, and Duane took me to meet them, and I said, Duane, I just sort of feel bashful about it, you know, about going, because I hadn't, you know, you don't want to say, look what I've done, or have I done. I never did know if I did enough. I never knew if enough came through. And they send out their stuff by email, and I don't get emails, and so I did not know. So we got within just a few feet of them, and they both just start crying and said, Faye, you did it. You did it. I said, did what? They said, you paid every dime of the translation to put it into their language. I said, didn't anybody else help? I said, I give DVDs out and I send out letters. They said, no. Nobody else ever helped. But you know what? God gave me that burden. He meant for me to do that. And it was his money I was sending. I was not sending my money. People would just give me money. And people have given me money this week while we've been here. And the greatest blessing in my old age that I've ever had is to know that children in Mongolia have Sunday school literature, and they can learn about my Jesus. And I didn't bring the book. I just have the cover, because I wouldn't take that book. It's the first book. If something happened to it, I think I would just die. But I made a copy of just the front of it, and it's up down on my table. But the first book they put out is about the Lord Jesus being born in a manger and coming for them. But I want you to pray for me, that I'll live long enough to see all of those. There's 70-something books that they're going to put out of different lessons. And I want you to pray with me that I'll live long enough to see that completed. And God will continue to send the money through. And I appreciate y'all.
That is faith promise.
Amen.
That is faith promise. Yeah.
Thank God.
Well,